Come back to order. Next item on the agenda is consideration of an interim assessment for use with the REED Act. Mr. Commissioner.
Hi.
Thank you, Thank you, Mr. Chair. Patty, I'll go ahead and turn it over to you. I believe in you. And we'll go through the process that we did on these assessments as well as the appeals. So you go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I think it's still morning.
Good morning, it is.
You are receiving screenshots from part of an assessment that we're going to show you later in our presentation. Okay. As you know, the REED Act requires the use of an interim assessment to determine if a student has a significant reading deficiency. This year, schools can choose to continue to use one of the currently approved interim assessments, DIBELS, DRA-2, or PALS, or may begin, upon approval of the board today, to use one of the recommended assessments. Also, as a reminder, once a student has been identified with having a significant reading deficiency on an interim assessment, the REED Act requires that a teacher use a diagnostic assessment to determine the specific area of reading difficulty that the child may be having. The REED Act also gives districts the option of using a summative assessment in grades K through 2. At the March 2013 State Board meeting, the list of diagnostic and summative assessments was approved. This past December, we brought to the State Board 7 English assessments and 3 Spanish assessments for recommendation to be part of the approved interim assessment list. We would like to assure you that the process we have undertaken for this recommendation has been thorough, transparent, and included involvement from the field. Prior to September, we brought together a group of field experts to help create the rubric that was used for this process. In September, vendors submitted those assessments for our consideration. In October and November, the review committee met to review the assessments. It should be noted that this review committee was comprised of teachers, literacy specialists, higher education, and assessment experts who submitted an application to be a part of this review process. This past December, we brought to you the results of that review process. Since our last meeting, 3 vendors appealed those recommendations, and in just a minute, we will review that appeal process with you. So we are here today to present to you our final list of recommended interim assessments for your approval vote. This is a list of the 14 English assessments reviewed. I'll just review them quickly. Benchmark Assessment System, published by Heinemann. ISEP Early Reading, published by iStation. Diagnostic or Online Reading Assessment, published by Let's Go Learn. MAP, published by Northwest Evaluation, PALS by PALS Marketplace, ClassWorks Reading by Curriculum Advantage, iReady by Curriculum Associates, and DIBELS Next by Cambium Learning, FAST, University of Minnesota, Ames Webb, Pearson, STAR Reading Enterprise, published by Renaissance Learning, STAR Early Literacy, Renaissance Learning, a developmental reading assessment by Pearson Education, and strategic teaching and evaluation of progress known as STEP by the University of Chicago. This is the list of Spanish assessments reviewed. And because my Spanish is not the best, I will not read those.
Oh, we want to hear them. Oh, Jane can read them for us.
Yes. Diane? The outcome of the list or the recommended assessments are here. They include, of the assessments reviewed, this is what we would like to present to you. They include Ames Web, Dynamic Indicators of Basic Early Learning Skills, Dibbles Next, the Formative Assessment System for Teachers, FAST, iReady, ISIP Early Reading Station, iStation, Phonological Awareness Literacy Screening, PALS, and STAR Early Literacy Enterprise, which was combined with STAR Reading to form STAR Early Learning, and that is one of our recommended. Those two tests were bundled to create a new assessment.
I actually just noticed a typo on that previous slide, so I want to be clear that DIBBLES is Dynamic Indicators of Basic Early Literacy Skills. It says learning, so I want to make sure we're approving the right assessment if it gets approved. The next slide shows 7 English assessments that were not recommended through the review process. We notified all vendors, and they were given the opportunity to appeal the decision within 14 days of receiving notification from the department. The department had 30 days to respond to those appeals. We've summarized in this slide the reasons why the assessments were not recommended, and the full review results are actually posted on the website as well. Five Spanish assessments were also not recommended. Again, we've summarized on this slide the reasons why these Spanish assessments were not recommended by the committee, and a full review results were posted on the website as well. You will recall that a Spanish assessment had to first pass the review for an English assessment before it could be recommended for approval in Spanish. And these are the remaining Spanish assessments that were not recommended. Regarding the review process, all vendors were notified of the committee's decision and given 14 days to appeal. 3 vendors appealed on behalf of their assessment: Let's Go Learn for Diagnostic Online Reading Assessment, or DORA, Pearson on behalf of Developmental Reading Assessment 2nd Edition, DRA-2, and NWEA on behalf of Measures of Academic Progress, MAP, and Measure of Academic Progress for the Primary Grades, MPG. A small group from the original review committee was brought together to review those appeals. We ensured that the appeal committee was made up of reviewers with the most in-depth knowledge and experience of literacy, assessments, and also psychometrics. The outcome of the appeals remained consistent with the original reviews. Today, you will vote on the recommended assessments. The department will conduct an additional review prior to 2016. And remember that districts have until July 2016 to transition to using at least one of the newly approved interim assessments. So they may continue, based on what's included in the law, using the currently approved assessments, DIBBLES, DRA, and PALS, through July 2016. And now we'd like to show you an example or some screenshots from one of the assessments that's a new recommendation to the list. Yes.
Oh, keep going.
Okay. Oh, we did have a place for questions.
There will be.
Okay. Do you have the other PowerPoint, Lizzie?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got this paper.
I'll keep going.
Do you want to just go
through
that?
Well, Lizzie looks for it. So the first slide you see in the purple is a kindergarten level question. This is actually the assessment iReady. You'll notice that the assessment offers both auditory and visual supports So students can hover over that speaker icon and the program will read the items to the student. This helps early readers, English language learners, and students with special needs. This support changes as the questions advance, so we would expect later on that as a child acquires reading skills that we no longer read the text to them, right? So as the questions advance, you'll see higher level questions. This first one is an example of rhyme. On the second slide in green, you'll see an example of another lower level question for children in those earliest stages of reading. You'll see that the question also assesses one of the foundational skills from our standards, whether or not a child can match letters to their very basic, most common sounds. Yes, yeah. This is an example of a computer adaptive assessment. Yeah, three of the assessments that we are recommended are computer adaptive. Here is an example of a higher level question, the slide in orange, that requires a student to read informational text and then answer a question. Again, you'll see the standard that is assessed. And the fourth slide asks a student to read text and then answer a question about the characters in the story. And again, as you see, as the text or the expectations get higher for the student, then you no longer have that icon where the child can have the text read to them. So it's an expectation for reading comprehension rather than listening comprehension. And then you'll see an example of a student profile report that a teacher would get. And this will provide the majority of the information that teachers would need to create their read plans. The report starts with overall performance for a student based on nationally criterion reference scale scores, those scores that we use to identify a significant reading deficiency. And so you would see for this student, based on his score of 357, that Jay would be classified as having a significant reading deficiency because his cut score or his score falls below the cut score of 372. And then you can look at Jay's results and see that he tested out of phonological awareness, which is that very first area without a bar, but he's still struggling in all other domains of reading. So the teacher can quickly see which components of reading will need to be addressed. And then in the next report, we get more information. It sort of digs deeper because this is actually on the approved diagnostic list as well. So we get more diagnostic information for this student and for each domain. And the report will tell the teacher what the child can actually do and then next steps. And these can be cut and pasted directly into a read plan if the teacher finds that these instructional recommendations are most relevant. And then this final slide is a sample report from iReady that shows all of the students in a particular classroom. So it's a class profile chart. And it shows the overall and domain-specific scores for each student in the class. This second grade class, you can see, has been resorted based on performance in the phonics domain only. So the teacher can sort based on different domains to support the teacher in making instructional groups. And as we conclude the presentation, we want to acknowledge that you have a very important decision to make. And we recognize that some schools and districts may be required to make a change over the next 2 years based on the decision that you make today. We do believe that the decision will be good for all students in Colorado and will give districts more choice than what they actually have currently. Thank you. We will take questions.
Questions of the staff?
Yeah, help me figure out what I'm hearing from others versus what we're talking. What is the assessment that I think it's DPS and Boulder and
DRA2.
And that is one that we are still not finding is adequate. And the reason is?
I
needed to have this organized for what I'm hearing as opposed to.
Mr. Chairman?
Please, this is a crux question.
Yeah.
Okay, and it is, you're right. One of the biggest issues, and I will tell you that the appeal process was very good for us because there were some things that we realized were that it performed in some areas better than we had thought once we brought assessment people in. However, one of the biggest items with DRA2 is that it does not use a progress monitoring in kindergarten. And if students,
and what does that mean exactly?
So you cannot
granular for me,
you cannot regularly check the progress of students every 2 weeks in kindergarten, like all of the other assessments do. So if a student is behind in kindergarten, we have no way of identifying how quickly they are catching up. And we know that kindergarten is the most critical area. You can catch a student up in reading in kindergarten at a much rapid rate because there's less skills and instruction that needs to be done. So we can identify or we can catch students up so much quicker in kindergarten. If we do not have a regular progress monitoring tool, we don't have evidence that shows how they're doing.
How long do these assessments take a kindergartner?
All of these assessments?
Well, I would expect the first assessment to be a bit longer, and then the subsequent monitoring ones to be shorter, but what are we talking about?
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Yes, that is accurate. Obviously, in kindergarten, it takes less time to give the full assessment because there, as I mentioned, are less skills assessed. In kindergarten, I would, and I am just guessing this, most of these assessments, including DRA2 in kindergarten, would take 20 to 25 minutes. DIBELS, probably, and PALS and iReady and the others take less time than that. So it is a more lengthy test than the others.
So we have just, may I, I'm sorry.
Please, go ahead.
We have districts that have been using these. It seems to me that the vendor could actually accommodate this new requirement if it wished to. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, yes. So that's really the intent of doing another review before the law mandates that people make that switch in July 2016. So our intent is to do at least one more review over the next 2 years so that vendors can respond to the concerns that we have related to the new requirements through the READ Act and possibly make revisions to their assessments and then be reconsidered.
I
want to follow up on the word requirement.
And the monitoring, where is that required? Is that required by us or is that required by the legislation?
The statute does say for students that are behind, the progress more frequent progress monitoring should occur.
And that those are the words? There's no specified?
Mr. Chairman, and it's you also approved it in the state board rules. So in the state board rules, there's a note about students identified with a significant reading deficiency being monitored more regularly or more often.
But it's not 2 weeks, right?
It doesn't give a specific time frame.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there no monitoring in DRA? I'm sorry. I need to get in the weeds on this one in order to understand better what we're doing. Is there no progress monitoring in this one in these three that we don't think are ready for prime time, or is it just not enough monitoring?
Please.
Mr. Chairman, so the results of the appeal, the committee noted that weekly progress monitoring was not a requirement. However, multiple forms were required for the purpose of progress monitoring. The kindergarten word analysis tasks do not include multiple forms for that purpose. There's actually only one form of the word analysis tasks, so the kindergarten teacher would have to use the same form every time that he or she chooses to progress monitor, which would make the results less reliable and valid because you're using the exact same test.
Could districts create this monitoring system?
Mr. Chairman? I suppose that districts could create a progress monitoring, but we would hope that districts are using the same rigor of validity and reliability that any assessment they're giving has established. So even though theoretically, yes, I would question the rigor and reliability of a school-made assessment.
Unless they run it by the department, for example, the experts in the department or some other group, or your committee group of experts. Would that not, I'm hearing a real strong support for some of these because they've been used often. The teachers are familiar with them. I kind of get that it's a pain to start all over and to have a completely different testing system because there's all the training and the timing that goes with it. So I'm thinking about what are modifications. One modification certainly is on the part of the vendor to get with the program. Did you hear any feedback from them that says we want to continue to serve these districts that use us and we'll add this?
Mr. Chairman, we did not hear that specifically from a vendor. One would hope, as Dr. Prestwich mentioned, that they do have a year to make, 2 years to make those accommodations, and we would think that they would, and that they would come back again for another review. So the hope would be that districts, if they want to, could continue to use that while that is being accomplished.
So to this point, I want to get to fine point here. What are we approving? We're approving a list that can be amended, and what is our process for amending? What does the statute allow for, et cetera?
So the list that you're approving would go into effect by July of 2016. They would have to be choosing from one of the seven on that list. However, we have agreed that we would do one more review process between now and that time. We have not yet put a specific date on that.
Okay, and this agreement is just the department saying to whomever, and this complies with statute.
Mr. Chairman, the law actually only says that the department will review new assessments regularly. So it doesn't give a specific time frame. It doesn't say annually, just that we would continue because new assessments do, come out.
I think we have public comment that might enlighten, further. So let's, if we don't have, we do have specific questions here. I'll let you guys guide me as to whether you want to hear public comment and then come back to additional questions or whether you want to continue with questions.
I can go. Say that again. Do you want
she can go either
I said
way.
I can
says.
Go either way. Okay, I'd like to make.
Please, go ahead then.
So I think just because it happens to be an area that I'm pretty familiar with, and I'm very familiar with almost all these assessments and have given many of them, I think one of the confusing pieces is the word interim. And so the word interim suggests, hey, let's have lots of assessments. Let's not worry about, if something doesn't meet the letter of the law. People can use whatever assessment makes sense. If they've used it for years and they like it, what's the problem? The problem with that is that the interim assessment is actually being used as the summative assessment, and the money is tied to the interim assessment. So the question is, we've had Colorado Basic Literacy Act for over a decade. And I was very involved in administering it. And we never could figure out if it made a difference. And there was, at its height, $19 million tied to it. And it served over 300 schools in the state. And the schools assembled bodies of evidence and assessments that were very hard to hold schools accountable for in terms of achievement. Why? Because they weren't valid and reliable. And so from a psychometric perspective, if we are holding districts accountable for gains, if money's tied to students, and if we're trying to address the literacy issue, then it seems to me that if we review these assessments for validity and reliability and their ability to give teachers good information for instruction, it seems to me we should choose the best assessments we can, if that's our approach to addressing literacy. And a law was passed to address it through the READ Act. We had people all across the states looking at the psychometric adequacy of these assessments. It seems to me that their recommendations hold up quite well because there's a lot out there on specifically DRA-2 and its technical adequacy and validity and reliability. So I appreciate the detailed processes you went through to get this list figured out and the legitimacy behind it. I also understand the districts who've used it for a long time don't want to change, but I would say they've got 2 years to do it. The vendor is Pearson, which is a huge behemoth in education and has fully the the resources to adjust the test if they so chose, so that they could continue to be used in Colorado. And so I guess I support the list because I think that it gives teachers the kind of information they need to address student achievement in reading, because it's based on the components that comprise raising student achievement.
So comment, or we have a public comment. Bill Good, if you want a good one. Bob, I'm sorry. If you want to come introduce yourself, we'll take the public comment out of order, which means you're living by the rules of 3 minutes, and then if board members have questions, we'll let you stay at the podium and answer those questions. So
to keep it at 3 minutes, I'm going to do a bit of reading here, so I'll try to maintain eye contact. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Commissioner Hammond, my name is Bob Good, and I'm speaking on behalf of the students and staff of Denver Public Schools in support of adding the DRA2 and the EDL2 to the list of approved interim assessments in support of the READ Act. I want to elaborate on the written comments we submitted last week and center on one primary point. Where there are honest differences in opinion about credible and widely used tools, deference should be given to school districts regarding their continued use. The READ Act statute and rules require only that the interim assessment chosen be reliable and valid for assessing the five components of reading and do so 3 times a year. The evidence for the DRA and EDL is described in detail in the technical manual and has been seen with its use across the state and the country. It was clear that there were differences of opinion that existed among the reviewers as to how to evaluate the evidence given the huge range in scores for the DRA and EDL. While some reviewers assigned extremely low scores that ignored submitted materials, others assigned scores that were as high or higher than several assessments that have been recommended. However, regardless of these differences, CDE's own data demonstrate the validity, given that the percent of students identified as being significantly below grade level by the DRA in 2013 was identical to that of the DIBLS. And these are actual data from CDE for 2013. With specific reference to many of our English language learners, the EDL provides valuable instructional information that helps our teachers and students in reaching the goal of English literacy. CDE and DPS are currently working together to learn more about effective literacy instruction for all English language learners, and the EDL is a pivotal tool in this understanding. A forced shift in assessment will impose an unnecessary burden on teachers working with some of our most vulnerable students. Mandating a change in our reading assessment will require substantial financial and human resources. Depending on specific agreements, the cost of implementing a new assessment for our K-3 students alone could reach $500,000 just for the licensing, plus another $200,000 for grades 4 and 5 to maintain continuity across our elementary schools. Even though districts would have until 2016, many of the purchasing and professional development processes would need to be started relatively soon. DPS has clearly seen successes with our literacy instruction. Since 2010, our third grade reading TCAP proficiency rate has increased by 10 percentage points. Although we know we have a long way to go, we are certainly headed in the right direction. With so much going on in districts today, a forced change in assessment due primarily to differences in opinion is not something we should be spending our time and resources on. The widespread use of DRA2 and EDL2 throughout Colorado and across the country, and by the way, we have about 22 districts that use DRA2 for reporting, which represents over 40% of the children, and we have, for those districts not using it for reporting, makes it over half the kids in Colorado get a DRA administration. Across the country, it's in the millions, and it's on, I think, half a dozen state lists. The evidence is sufficient that they have value and support. Please let us focus on developing literacy of all of our students in a manner that is credible and has shown results. We respectfully ask that you add the DRA2 and EDL2 to the list of approved interim assessments and let us continue to move our students forward. Thank you very much for your time.
Please stay at the podium. And let me be clear. State again your name and your position. Again.
Oh, I apologize. I had that on my notes and I didn't read it. My name is Bob Good. I work for Denver Public Schools. I'm in the Teaching and Learning Division.
Okay.
I have some follow-up questions for you. In the previous discussion, argument that the staff is making primarily, if I understand it correctly, is that the DRA2 does not do progress monitoring in the kindergarten. Can you comment on that?
So I think, number one, we would argue it does through the word analysis tool. However, I do want to make it clear that progress monitoring is not a specific requirement of the statute or the rules for interim assessments. But I mean, so the requirement for interim assessments is that they be given at least 3 times a year. And the DRA 2 meets that responsibility. Now, I would also argue, however, that we can use the DRA 2 for progress monitoring purposes. And those data are not reported to the state. It's the end of year results for the interim. As Member Scheffel said, that is effectively a summative use of that assessment.
And does DPS currently use DIBLs, and how does that fit in?
So in general, we do not use DIBLs. There might be a few schools that still use it. There's also some carryover in AmesWeb. What we do after we've identified students who are significantly below level is identify specific interventions and assessments that will be used to help monitor their progress. And again, those specific programs are not required by rules or statute.
Okay, my third and last question is, we keep talking about what's in statute and what's not in statute. Can you, from your perspective, reflect on why you think DRA 2 meets the requirements of the statute?
The primary purpose of the interim assessment under the READ Act is for the identification of students who are reading significantly below grade level and need to be placed on a READ plan. That's the primary intent. The board has already adopted a list of diagnostics that get to the specific issues that underlie the reading deficiencies. So the interim assessments is strictly for placement or identification and placement on a READ plan. There does need to be additional information that teachers need to gather to figure out how to make progress with a student. But that's not the primary purpose of the interim assessment as situated under the READ Act.
Thank you.
Doug Scheffel.
Thanks for your comments. Could you speak to the reliability and validity coefficients for the DRA 2 and also the sample size on which those coefficients are based? Because that is a specific excerpt from the law as far as the interim assessments.
Yes, it requires that there be reliability and validity evidence. There are no, my understanding is there are no thresholds for either one.
So there are thresholds in best practice.
Yes.
Suggest what a acceptable reliability and validity.
And they're typically in the mid sevens to low eights. I can't speak specific.
Can you speak to DRA 2's coefficients?
Yes.
And also to the
yes.
sample size.
Yes, as far as the sample sizes, I can't speak to specifically what it is. I know there are some current concerns for subgroups being just a few hundred kids. But remember that so reliability is of a score, not an assessment. And so as we look at stability of scores over time, one of the basic principles under reliability is the extent to which we can depend on the results. And we have found that we can depend on them, that they relate very well to our summative assessments in TCAP, and that they relate to other information that we gather along the lines of helping our kids progress and other assessments that we have. That spills over into the validity argument. The validity argument relates to the use and interpretation of an assessment. And so, for example, the classification accuracy, it is identical to the DIBLs, 16.6% for both DRA and DIBLs. So we have validity evidence. There are about 60-some-odd pages within the technical manual of the DRA that go over what this evidence is. So I can't speak to that. I'm not representing the vendor. I will admit that for all of these assessments, I think the evidence could probably be improved. And that holds true for both the DRA and EDL. But I will say, after almost 15 years of using this, and given the success that we've had over the last few years, we have seen a relationship. If we had seen too many mismatches, we'd be willing to switch, and we would do it on our own regardless of the presence of the READ Act. So I think we have enough internal evidence to show that the data are both dependable and valid for the use that we're implementing. And I think that speaks to districts across the state and country. We've got several million kids across the country who use this.
So I guess I would just say that if we really want to get into the weeds on this assessment, we should pull the technical manual and read from that portion on validity, reliability, and sample size. And if what you're saying is that your experience in DPS doesn't match the technical manual, I would like to see your evidence, because I think those are the issues about the DRA-2 that have surfaced based on experts looking at the technical adequacy of the test.
I think the bigger issue that I wanted to bring forth is I fully agree that this is a debatable issue. I hope it is understood that there is evidence. It's just whether or not the evidence is sufficient. So, for example, the two review committees that looked at the DIBLs, one gave it a perfect score, one gave it a score lower than the DRA. I think it's, I'm not arguing for the DIBLs to come off the list. I'm not arguing for any of that. What I am arguing is that when the information is debatable and professionals can disagree, deference should go to the districts who have shown success and have confidence in the measures that they are using. This is not a product that we sort of made up in our garage. This is something that has been used for years, and I understand that there are differences of opinion. But I would say that a district as large as ours, the impact that we have seen and the impact this will cause is justification to add it for choice. We're not forcing anybody to use it. We're just allowing those who have been using it, and almost every large metro district is using it, and it's the one of the widest used across the state.
I just have two more comments. So I would just like to say that it's great to have deference to districts, and I'm all for that, except that when there's a law passed that says we haven't done a lot with raising literacy achievement, we need a law that really targets those kids with significant reading deficiencies. In order to figure out if we're making progress, we need some assessments with good technical adequacy. Let's make a list based on experts in the state that put together a rubric against those tests that exist, and let's give folks a shot at finding an assessment that can really drive instructional change. That's what we're trying to do with the READ Act. We tried with CBLA to leave it very open-ended, and it didn't function well. Everybody did their own thing with their own body of evidence, and when I had to stand before an audit committee and say, does this work, I had to say, I don't know, because the tests that are being used aren't technically adequate. So I would say, I would hate to see us make the same mistake with this new iteration of a bill that was passed saying, let's have valid and reliable assessments based on decent sample sizes. So again, if you want to reconsider this, we should pull the manual, and you could submit additional data on why you think it's valid, reliable, and such. But the technical manual, which I have read, does not support technical adequacy from any sense of best practice in psychometrics. Secondly, do students in DPS use the STAR early literacy? Is
yes.
that required in DPS of students?
Well, it's required for students for whom it's appropriate, yes.
Which would be students with significant reading deficiencies?
No, it's so STAR early literacy is the early literacy assessment. So students who are below a certain scale score threshold need to take, by and large, we give it to all of our K-1 kids.
K-1, 2, 3, K-1?
Well, and then you start transitioning into STAR reading at
right.
late first,
right.
early
so is
second.
Is that assessment required of the same population that would be taking DRA-2?
By and large, yes. There are some concerns with our English language learners who are instructed primarily in Spanish, which several thousand students. So far, we have not seen an appropriate product other than EDL for that.
I'm just saying that you have a redundancy here in testing. I guess I would ask, just from a practical standpoint, why you need the DRA too if the students with significant reading deficiency are already taking STAR and it's the same population, and yet you, I mean, in other words, you already have a valid and reliable instrument here with STAR early literacy.
So I'm
questioning why.
It gives us different information. One of the unique things about the DRA-2 is it's one of the few assessments out there and on the list that actually requires students to read to you in depth, and it can be that information from effectively a running record can be very easily segued into instruction, and that's what our teachers do very often. The STAR does give us very valuable information, and we like to put the information together to make instructional instructional decisions. The data align fairly well. They're not identical, and I would argue that they're not completely redundant, but they each give us important information, and that's why we want to continue to be able to use the DRA.
I would say you could continue to use it, but why would it be an interim assessment? You know, if the validity and reliability are in question.
Because we've seen success with it. We've had three times the growth of the state in terms of TCAP percentage in our third grade, and we're happy, not satisfied, but happy with that direction.
Jane, did you have questions here?
Oh, yeah. I guess, Bob, would you describe again, aside from the funding, the money part of this, what would be the biggest impact on DPS if this was to be changed? If knowing there are 2 years, there's still 2 years mm-hmm. to make adjustments. What would be the biggest challenge?
So briefly, I'll describe two significant impacts to that outside of just money. Mm-hmm. In just the business arrangement, we have to issue an RFP. We have to go through all the negotiations that would be encumbered with making that kind of commitment. So that, I'm estimating, would take a fair amount of time. And in most negotiations now with vendors around large-scale assessment projects, you're looking at professional development because those kinds of requirements are pretty large. And then I'll segue into an instructional piece, and that is, depending on what is chosen, we would have to figure out how to get teachers, and we're talking thousands, to start thinking in ways of interpreting the information they're getting out of the new assessment. Again, it's not being critical of the other assessments on the list. It's saying what kinds of mind shifts and what kinds of new professional learning would we have to develop our teachers, and how much time would that take? Another very important subset of this is, what are we going to do for our English language learners? Quite frankly, we are not satisfied with the manner in which the assessments on the list assess English language learners, particularly those who are instructed in Spanish. So we would have to figure out how we would shift that as well in alignment with both our instructional philosophy and our language allocation guidelines under our federal court order. It would be a massive lift for us to shift at this time.
May I just...
Sure, follow-up question.
Which Spanish assessment are you using right now?
The EDL-2, which is okay. The Spanish version of the EDRA-2. Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you familiar with the three here that are recommended? Have they been used, tried, applied in the district on any level?
So I'm most familiar, but I need to qualify how much most is. I know enough to be dangerous. We looked into what PALS offers in terms of Spanish literacy and assessment. The Spanish DIBELS is not used broadly that I'm aware of DPS, and I'm not familiar with the ISIP being used. But I do know that our literacy folks have looked into these in more detail, and actually we started to do this long before the READ Act discussions asked us to do it. We do it periodically just to see what's out there. One of the concerns with a lot of Spanish stuff is it's just a translation. It's not a true mm-hmm. assessment of Spanish speakers. Mm-hmm. And so we keep our eyes open for that in general. And we're quite satisfied with the EDL, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Angelica, and then we'll come back to staff and wrap this up. Okay.
Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your time.
I think, Angelica, do you have a question, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Bob.
You want to hear from staff first?
Yeah.
Comment?
Well, no, I'm... Let's pick up on the issues that are out there. Does staff want to respond?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and we are taking public comment out of session, or out of order. 3 minutes, and we will pepper you with 4 hours worth of questions.
State Board members, Commissioner Hammond. My name is Luke Raglan. I'm a vice president at Colorado Succeeds, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan coalition of business leaders who are dedicated to improving the state's public education system. On behalf of our membership, I'm here today to voice our continued support for the READ Act and the process it created to review and approve literacy assessments. By enacting the READ Act, Colorado took an important step in ensuring that every child has the basic literacy skills necessary to succeed. The READ Act changes the culture around early literacy from one of bureaucracy and compliance to one that's focused on effective, scientifically based reading intervention. And this is accomplished by establishing more consistency in statewide implementation so that regardless of the student's location, he or she will receive the very best scientifically based reading instruction and intervention. A key piece of this consistency stems from the process laid out in statute for reviewing and approving literacy assessments. CDE conducted a thorough review of the assessments to select the tools that best met the criteria outlined in statute. As part of this public process, a strong and diverse review committee evaluated all the assessments against a rigorous rubric. I have personally confirmed with national literacy experts that top-notch research was used to develop the rubric and that the review committee was carefully balanced to ensure an unbiased process. And if that were not enough, the assessments that failed to meet the basic quality standards were given the chance to appeal that ruling. Their assessments were reviewed a second time, ensuring that every assessment was fairly and comprehensively evaluated. Unfortunately, some districts are seeking to circumvent this process because the test they are most comfortable with did not meet the basic quality standards provided in statute. The reality is, to transform our system in order to better serve our student population, we have to make some changes that might make districts and adults somewhat uncomfortable. Local districts still have significant flexibility in determining which test to administer because the review committee identified several other assessments that meet basic quality standards. Further, the assessments don't go into place until July 2016, giving them plenty of time to prepare. Finally, the gentleman from DPS, he pointed out that when professionals disagree, we should defer to districts. I think that we might actually all agree with that premise, but even under his own premise, it doesn't hold. Professionals don't agree. That's not the case here. The review committee reviewed it not once, but twice, and found that it was not adequate. The READ Act framework provides a powerful incentive for teachers, districts, and parents to seriously engage in early literacy efforts and holds all stakeholders accountable for making progress. And through accountability, the business community believes that the READ Act positively changes the culture of literacy in Colorado and takes steps forward. We should trust the thorough and unbiased process conducted by the department for reviewing the assessments and avoid making exemptions in order to make adults feel more comfortable with change. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there other public comments? Please.
Hello, my name is Maureen Welch, and I'm a mom of three kids, and my concerns around the READ Act is that I feel like the READ Act needs to apply for all children, including students who are in special ed. And I feel like my son, my youngest son is 6 years old, and he is nonverbal and he has Down syndrome, and I feel like he's being excluded from the expectation of learning to read. So my question to this group is how to set that expectation from the state level to the school district level. I am actually recommending to my IEP team that we retain him for first grade because I want him to learn to read before he goes to second grade. So. Just a little background on myself. I'm a general educator. I taught in Denver for 8 years, and then I went back and got my special ed license after my son was born. So I am now taking the year off to learn more about the system. So you'll probably see me at more meetings here and getting to learn a little bit more. So I guess my question is to you is to raise those benchmarks for the grade level to all children, not just children that aren't on IEPs. My other question is for my third grader, is how are you going to trigger RTI? How does that overlay with the READ Act? That's something that I don't quite understand, because if someone isn't learning to read with effective instruction, when do you kick that in? So anyway, thank you for all your work. I also wanted to give a little kudos. I really enjoyed your website. I can't the accessibility of information, agendas, past audio things, that's something that we don't have in Cherry Creek and something I want to take to their board. So I just want to thank you for all of that, because I can tell there's a lot of work and effort to put it in accessible to people that can't be here. I have some friends that are tuning in over the internet today to hear this discussion. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Other public comment? We've got a popular issue today.
Thank
Name,
you.
Organization, and 3 minutes.
Great. I'll be higher level, so we'll go quickly. My name's Riley Farrow, and I'm the Vice President of Education for the Colorado Children's Campaign. First, thank you to the board and to the department staff for your leadership and commitment to the rule promulgation and implementation process for the READ Act in alignment with the spirit of the law. The Children's Campaign was one of the organizations that helped pass the READ Act in 2012, and we knew that the changes would not be easy, but were in the best interest of students and their needs. recognizing the importance of literacy and that early literacy serves as a strong indicator for future educational success, we know that currently too many students are struggling to master literacy. In 2013, overall reading proficiency in Colorado for fourth graders was 68%, and broken down by race and ethnicity, only 51% of our Hispanic and African American students were proficient. We also know a student is six times more likely to drop out when they have not mastered proficiency in reading by the time that they leave third grade. The READ Act's commitment to identifying a student's specific reading deficiencies based off of the science of reading is imperative to successful intervention. I urge your continued commitment to a system that supports the science of reading, and thank you for all your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Okay, so here's what I'd ask, just to keep the ball moving. If you staff would like to make a brief summary response, then we'll open back for questions and conversation among the board and take action. Please.
Okay, Mr. Chair, yes. First of all, I would like to respond to some of the suggestions that Mr. Good did. We did have a range of scores. However, I want us to be clear that we understand exactly what that range of scores was. The scores were a 7 for DRA 2, a 7, a 10, 11, 14, 22, 24, and 137. The 37 consistently scored the DRA 2 higher. So from that range, you can see that most of our reviewers did judge the DRA 2 in a very similar fashion. And as Mr. Good does say in his letter to the board, we should be wary of any outliers. So he is right. We should be wary of any outliers. And there was one outlier for the reviews. Also, he mentioned that the DRA 2 identifies the same number of kids as Dibbles and Pals. Actually, in kindergarten, the DRA 2 identified 3.7% of students, whereas both Pals and Dibbles identified 10 to 12% of students. So there is a huge discrepancy between the number of students identified in kindergarten. I want to emphasize how important the identification of students is in kindergarten because we can prevent reading difficulties in later years. Further, DPS, as Mr. Good did say, does require the use of STAR early learning. So professional development would not be required. Additionally, STAR early learning is one of the assessments approved on our list. When this review process was done, it was not based on a difference of opinion. We gathered people for the review process that had a very large review opinions, including reviewers from Boulder who were on this process. Instead, the outcome was based on a high... Yes, no, that's okay. I was saying that in reference to they do also use DRA 2, and they were part of this committee. The outcome of this review was based on a highly rigorous evaluation process. Opinion did not play into this. I would also like to say that 21 districts do report on this, but nearly 160 do not. And I understand that it's a majority of children in the metropolitan area, but across the state, other districts are using other assessment. Further, the intent of an interim assessment is not to report out at the end of the year. It is to ensure that all students, not those just behind, are on track to continue to learn to read. And if we think of an interim assessment as only identifying students with a significant reading deficiency, we are not using our interim assessments as they are intended. And that is through the RTI process so that we can regularly measure that no child is falling behind and so that we identify them quickly so that we know exactly what they need to do. Also, I would like to point never mind. I'm going to ask Dr. Prestwich if she has anything.
I have 3 points to add, and if I miss anything, you can follow up. It was suggested that neither the rules or the law require progress monitoring of students. If you refer to Section 4.01B of the State Board Rules for the Administration of the Colorado READ Act, you'll see this statement.
monitor the ongoing progress of students determined to have a significant reading deficiency by administering the selected state board approved interim assessment periodically throughout the school year until the student demonstrates grade level proficiency and is removed from a READ plan. We feel it's very important that that same state board approved interim assessment is used so that a teacher is able to compare the data that she or he gets across time. If teachers are using a number of different assessments, then they don't have enough data points to make those really good comparisons and make the best instructional decisions for kids. It was also noted that some of the assessments do not require students to read aloud to the teacher. We do want to point out that of the 7 interim assessments that we are recommending, 4 of the assessments do require a child to read aloud to the teacher. And we would also suggest that it's important that a teacher listens to a child read aloud on a daily basis. And we would suggest that that should be taking place during instructional time, perhaps in small group instruction when children are accessing text. And we completely agree that that's extremely important because it requires a teacher to make decisions about how the child is progressing in their reading ability. There was one more. Oh, we also want to note it has been suggested that a number of different states are using DRA2. We did do our research. 5 states were mentioned: Connecticut, Ohio, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, and Texas. In Ohio, the DRA2 is not an approved assessment. In Connecticut, new legislation was recently passed that specifies that all kindergarten through third grade students must be tested with the universal screener. The DRA2 will no longer be allowed to satisfy this requirement effective this summer for next year's reporting requirements in Connecticut. In Rhode Island, the DRA2 is permissible in grades 1 and 2, but not in kindergarten or third grade.
I think we're ready to discuss and take action.
Okay.
Are there questions Thank you. Staff at this point? Interaction among board members? Angelica, please comment.
Well, my first comment is that I noticed that you guys are not at all passionate about helping children in color read, nor are our speakers, and I'm very grateful on both sides of the discussion.
Absolutely.
And yes, Boulder has also had concerns because they do not wish to change. And I would just argue that the provider or the developer of this program has the opportunity to meet the expectations that we have in Colorado. I recognize that change is hard and it can be expensive. That's not a reason not to do what was intended. So I will support the recommendation that you've made. I will recommend to the school districts that feel passionate about this particular program that they go back to their vendor. I mean, this is a market economy, and we do give feedback to our various providers, and this is solvable one way or another. When I came today, and I'm going to confess that I did have a conversation with a constituent today because I thought we had already voted, so I just want to be open about that because I should have done it differently. But I was between mascara and lipstick when the call came, so it wasn't. I wondered to this individual and to myself whether there needed to be a change in the law, and I just don't hear that at all today. So I don't think that option is a realistic one, but there are 2 options that are available to some of the districts. Thank you for your very thorough work and presentation.
Other comments? Elaine, would you like to make a comment?
Well, I think everybody admits that this is an area, I don't want to say that's controversial, but that people have strong feelings about, and that people perhaps may interpret the data differently. So in my mind, this is not a matter of whether the CDE staff is right, we didn't do a good process. I think we did probably an adequate process, whether it was fabulous. I'm not in a position to say. My main concern with not including the DRA2 is success. And I was listening very carefully to what my colleague on the other side of the table was saying. But if you look at, not only are the largest school districts in the state of Colorado using DRA2, but the school districts that are showing the most growth and highest levels of student achievement are using the DRA2. So if we were looking at school districts that weren't showing growth using this assessment tool, I think I would absolutely say this is an adult issue. I did not agree with a gentleman from Colorado Succeeds that says that people in DPS were circumventing. I do not think that's the case at all. I think they're using it as a very I think the only thing that DPS cares about is improving student achievement. I think they are singularly focused on identifying individual students when they fall behind and getting them to grade level. And not only are they singly focused on it, but they're showing results. So why would we take away an assessment? I mean, this board talks about, particularly my friends on the other side of the aisle, talks about flexibility.
It's kind of divisive, don't you think?
Other side of the aisle? Other side of the seat? We talk about giving school districts flexibility. We talk about giving school districts choice. We talk about not overburdening school districts with changes and additional financial burdens, and I would assume that there is no money that goes along to school districts to make this change. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that is correct, unless they are part of our ELAP project, and then it is at no expense to them, which is using DIBLS next.
Okay. So if we care about flexibility, if we're concerned about burden, if we're concerned about choice, and if we're concerned about success, I would argue that DRA2 should be put into this group of assessments.
Mr. Chairman, both of my colleagues to both sides of me reminded me that they can use per pupil funds to offset this cost. So they could use their per pupil funds for the purchase of an assessment.
That's in addition to the money they already have.
Correct.
Over and above.
I just wanted to clarify, it's not their regular per pupil. They get a per pupil allocation from the READ Act, which is above their allocation for regular operating.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for the clarification, too.
And
so I'm not a reading expert. I would defer to others that are reading experts. But I know that I've heard directly from DPS. I've heard directly from Aurora. I've heard directly from Boulder. I've heard indirectly from Cherry Creek that they seem very satisfied, and those are very high-performing school districts, all of which are showing, you know, growth. So I don't see how we can make the determination not to include DRA2.
Pam, and then we'll come back to the vice chair, and then wrap up.
Okay. So if we approve, I mean, given the discussion around Pearson, the vendors can come back and appeal again, where are we at on that? If we approve this list today, will you come back to the state board with a vendor appeal saying, you know, we want you to reconsider and put them back on? Or do we I'm just wondering whether we lose... do we lose our ability to do anything about this?
Mr. Chairman, it really wouldn't be through an appeal process, but we would have a request for information again, as we did prior, and so they would have the opportunity to resubmit their assessment with any approved or improved things that they might have added.
Any other comments from this side? Dr. Shuffle, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on Member Berman's comment, which is a good comment, and I agree with you that we... if we can give folks flexibility, that's all great. But the problem is with that right now is when laws are passed, they're not surgically passed and targeting specific issues. They're much more broadly so. And so if we're trying to implement a statewide literacy initiative with specific language that requires assessments to benchmark against best practice and validity and reliability and sample size with respect to how the scores are used and how they qualify students for services, then it seems to me we should be true to the intent of the law. If we don't want that kind of a legislative approach to reform, in this case in the area of literacy, we should work with our legislators on a different approach.
And I would argue that if it were the opinion of the majority of the State Board to add DRA 2, and if Legislative Council thought we were going beyond our purview, they would point that out to us. So I think this is within our purview, too, and I think it is also consistent with the statute. I do not think the recommendation of adding DRA 2 is outside the statute. But as I said, if it were, it would be brought to our attention after we voted on it.
So I'm going to jump in with some final comments as we walk through this. And this was a very interesting, robust discussion. I appreciate this. But to the subject matter issues with regard to thresholds and best practices and norming and progress monitoring, the primary objection agrees that there is some debatability within that. And then following on to that, what I heard as the primary objection to moving forward was the difficulty of transition. And to my thinking, that's an inadequate response, especially given the fact that there's tons of headroom. We've got a lot of runway in front of us if DRA wants to bring positive answers back to some of these questions, these spaces where we're all in agreement, there is some debatability. If they want to bring an improvement to that, that could alleviate some of the administrative challenge of making a transition. So based on that reasoning, it would be my I'll support the motion.
Which I haven't made yet.
Well,
it's
motion,
my turn now.
Staff recommendation. And let me change my language to say staff recommendation.
All right. This has been a very interesting conversation for me because I am not a reading expert. I always taught the older kids. So I was kind of catching up here all the way along. But relying upon our board member down there who is a reading expert, a couple of things. It is a response to legislation. It's not as if these ladies decided to on their own to go out and do this. It is a response to legislation, and we don't always, you know, have the control over legislation. But as such, what you did was required, and you did extensive, thorough work, and I always feel like I should, you know, listen to the experts here. I understand perfectly the loyalty that people have to a long-used program. And that is because they're very good people, and they work hard, and I have no doubt that they've made it a success. But I also have no doubt that they can make a different one a success. And I know that's not a real thoughtful conversation there, but I just, you know, this was the law. You guys did a wonderful job. You were very thorough, I always listen to the experts. So with that in mind, Mr. Chair, I would where are we? I would move to approve the list of department recommendation interim reading assessments for the READ Act.
Is there a second? Dr. Shuffle, second. And I think we'll take a roll call vote on this.
Can I put an amendment in there, or you want to take a roll call on this, or how do we do this?
No, I don't think you can.
Well, we're mid-motion. We could accept an amendment, so I will give you the opportunity to offer an amendment.
Mr. Chair, with all due respect, you have a motion and a second.
Oh, so we need to move at this point. Okay, so we'll take a roll call vote on this issue. Please call the roll.
Elaine Gantz-Berman.
Well, I think I need a protocol thing. So if we vote on this, then can I then submit another motion with an amendment to it? Or will that it will have passed and then it's too late for an amendment?
You would be able to make a motion. It would require a second.
It would require a second. It would be a separate motion. It wouldn't be an amendment to this motion.
Okay, so I can vote on this and still do a whole separate one on this topic. Okay. Yes.
Jane Goff.
Yes.
Paul and Dean.
Yes.
Ann Masnick.
Yes.
Marcia Neal.
Yes.
Dr. Shuffle.
Yes.
Dr. Schroeder.
Yes.
So the motion carries now. I'll give the floor to...
Okay. So I move that in addition to the assessments that we have just voted on, that we add the DRA too. But I need a second.
You need a second.
No second?
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a second.
So we can talk.
Jane, you seconded, yes? Okay, so we
okay,
have...
Okay, just before... May I make...
Please.
Okay.
I was just going to clarify what the motion was. So the motion is to add the DRA 2, moved by Member Berman and seconded by Member Goff. Now, discussion is in order.
Thank you. I've said it before, so I'm just going to... This is kind of a summary. My main point is that... particularly in DPS, which is the largest school district in the state of Colorado, which has a high concentration of low-income kids and kids of color, we have seen significant, more higher growth than in any other school district in the state of Colorado, and they have been using this assessment. So why would we not allow them to continue using this assessment? And if there are other school districts that want to use it, so be it. But not to allow them to do that seems to me to be very counterproductive if our goal is increasing student achievement, which they have shown that they have done probably a better job than any other school district in the state of Colorado.
And my response to this valid motion and good conversation is that the opportunity for an improved version of DRA2 still lies pregnant in the possibility, or this could happen. It seems to me there are some challenges to it, the validity of it, the value of it, and if, in fact, those challenges, the questions that are gray in the edges could be improved upon, at that point, I would be more, you know, receptive to the motion, but at this point, I'd have to oppose your motion. Dr. Scheffel?
I would just say that the blanket statement that they've made so much progress would really have to be deconstructed, because I've looked at DPS's data, and I would question your assertion that they've made so much progress in reading.
Dr. Schroeder?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they've made a heck of a lot of progress because they have teachers teaching kids how to read, and they're doing quite a great job. And whether this assessment is actually the best one that they could be using to help them be more effective, we don't know. That's something we don't know, whether another assessment wouldn't make them even more effective. But it's not the assessment itself that makes readers. Testing kids doesn't make them readers, but it certainly is a tool. And whether this is the very best tool for any of our teachers is kind of what we're talking about. Not the fact that they've had success. And for that reason, we don't know that. We just know that there's been a lot of research on a lot of assessments that suggest that some are better than others. And that's the best we're trying to do here.
So the motion before us is to add the DRA2, moved and seconded appropriately. Staff call the roll.
Elaine Gansperman.
Aye.
Jane Goff.
Aye.
Paul Lindeen.
No.
Ken Masnick.
No.
Marcia Neal.
No.
Dr. Scheffel.
No.
Dr. Schroeder.
No.
And the motion fails. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure, we're done with this business.
Editor. Except for that it relates to the staff. So this
sure.
may not be the right time to pose the question, but I know there was a question in the last meeting about a subset of students in Denver Public Schools and with respect to what language they're assessed in and cut points and all that. And I don't know when we're going to address that, but I think the AG's office was brought in to bring an opinion.
Clarification on law.
I don't know when we're going to talk about that. Later? Later. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. May I ask one more question?
All right. We'll take a two-minute break, and then we'll come back.
Can I ask one more question?
One more question before we move on.
I have heard that Patty Montgomery's leaving the department. Is that correct?
No.
Not yet. All right. Well, I just wanted to thank her for all the work that she's done on this initiative.
She's here till May.
I am here through May. I will be retiring at the end of May.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a two-minute break, and then we'll come back to the Dropout Prevention and Student Engagement Report, which is scheduled for 30 minutes, and we're hoping to be short.
Thank you.